Just look at that question that Jesus asked his disciples. Who do you say that I am? It's the central question of our faith. Who is God? Who is Jesus? I won't get in too much into who the Holy Spirit is, which is probably one of the biggest mysteries. But we want to look at that question about who God is. Let me grab my clicker here. It's a question that artists have tried to answer in their paintings and their sculptures. Theologians have written books and books. Scientists have even looked into this question, looking for evidence of God in science. Mathematicians even, I think, have theories about who God is. And almost every person, I would say, has asked this question, who is God? We're going to look at different phrases, verses from the Bible, and what they have to say about who God is this morning. And a lot of these are based off things that Grace members told me. I asked a question on Facebook, who do you think God is? And so a lot of these responses are based on what some of you answered on Facebook. One of the first ways that we know God is as creator. In that very beginning, it says, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was a formless void, and the Spirit of God moved over the waters and created the world. God created the light and the dark, the land and the sea, plants, animals, and fish. And God created hot and cold, unfortunately. God created all of us in God's own image. But, as we know, the people God created didn't stay good, as God saw his creation was good. We didn't stay good for very long, and sin entered our world. And then we learn something else about God. God starts over. God is not afraid to begin again. God sent the flood to have a new beginning in our world, and he promised to never wipe us out again. But God begins again with us anew each day, doesn't he? This is a good thing for us to keep in mind, that God can always wipe the slate clean. God is also a protector. We heard this verse in our reading last Wednesday from Isaiah 43. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. God doesn't promise those deep waters don't come and feel like they're going to carry us away. But God says, I will be with you, protecting you, like a life jacket or a raft or a rock to shield us from those breaking waves. God is patient. How many of you would describe yourselves as patient? Nobody. Pastor Paul. Oh, thanks, Pastor Paul. It's not a virtue many of us think that we have, is it? But the Bible says God is slow to anger and compassionate and rich in love. God is a helper. It says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I remember a few years ago walking around during Sunday school hour and passing the three-year-old classroom, and the teachers waved me in, and the kids had a question. They wanted to know if God ever sleeps. And I thought about this verse, and I said, you know, God doesn't maybe rest, but God never sleeps. He is always there for us. When we lift up our eyes and our hearts to God in prayer, God helps us. God is also a comforter. God knows our sadnesses. There are so many places in the Bible that talk about God comforting his people. I love this verse that says, God collects our tears. We are precious to him. In the Bible, in Isaiah, it talks about God's holy mountain, a place where God will wipe our tears away and swallow up death. And again, at the end of the Bible, in Revelation, it paints that picture of God as someone who sits beside us and comforts us, wiping away our tears. God renews and restores us. This verse is from Isaiah, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. And it's also in the Psalm 92, that On Eagle's Wings is based on. It talks about God will lift us up with wings like eagles so that we will run and not be weary, walk and not faint. Sometimes life can be pretty hard, right? Sometimes we need somebody to give us that strength or to carry us along. And God promises to do that for us. On Eagle's Wings is such a beloved hymn, I think, because so many of us love that image. We need that image of God renewing us and lifting us up and protecting us. God is also a mighty fortress, to call on another hymn. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. God is not just a comforter, He is also strong and big, like a fortress, and nothing can harm God. But the funny thing is, we can't see God. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. That is faith. God is still a mystery to us in so many ways. We don't fully know God right now, but someday we will. The Bible has many, many names for God. God is also faithful. And Isaiah, it says, "Then you shall call, and the Lord shall answer. You shall cry, and He will say, Here I am." God is always there for us, faithfully listening to us, and faithfully keeping His promises to be with us. God is all-knowing, or sometimes we say omnipotent. Can you imagine what that must be like? Can you imagine what it's like to know everything? To know all of us so well, to know our thoughts, our deeds, what our actions will be. That's how God is. And that's one thing that separates us from God, is that we can't know everything. That's why God is God and we are not. In the Bible, there are so many different ways to describe who God is. And thank goodness that we have the Bible so that we can have a picture, a clue of who God is in our lives. God is so many different things. But one of the best ways that we know God and the best names for God is, of course, Jesus Christ. It's that question that Jesus asked today. Who do you say that I am? That also defines our lives as His followers. Who is Jesus? And what does that mean for us? Simon Peter gets it right away. And then he also doesn't understand what fully it means that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. The Bible describes Jesus in the beginning, in Matthew's Gospel. It says, "She will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Messiah, or anointed one, is Savior, is a chosen one who's set apart. Jesus came to save us from our sins. That's what the Bible tells us. That was his purpose. It also talks about God as Emmanuel, God with us. We hear that a lot at Lent and at Christmas time, but it also goes beyond that. This is one of my favorite passages in the Bible from Romans 8. "Neither height nor depth nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, from the love that is in Christ Jesus." Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us always. Even though he's not physically here, his love remains, and there's nothing that can take that away from us. Jesus is compassionate. The Bible also describes him as compassionate many times, and this is one of my favorites. Jesus has been out teaching, and he's getting kind of tired, as we all know. In our busy lives, our busy times, things can wear on us. And he looks back at the crowd, and it says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd." Jesus sees his people and has compassion for them. He loves them. There's also in the story of Lazarus' death. Lazarus was Jesus' friend and the sister of Mary and Martha. And he died, and Jesus goes and sees all the people mourning Lazarus. And he also is moved with compassion, it tells us. And even Jesus begins to cry. Also, we heard a couple weeks ago Beth Welch preach about the healing of Simon's mother-in-law. Jesus was moved with compassion for her also to heal her. Jesus is loving. He welcomed the children into his arms. He touched lepers. He healed people who were sick and in need. At the center of his message, he says, is the commandment to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Love tells us a lot about who Jesus is. And because he was loving, Jesus was also very giving. He gave his life while he lived, and he gave his life in a sacrifice on the cross. And he gave us the bread and the wine, the Last Supper, to help us remember that he gave everything for us. When he did that, Jesus also forgave all of our sins. And he didn't just do it in his death, in his resurrection. He taught forgiveness in his life. It says, then Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times? Not 7 times, Jesus replied, but 70 times 7, which means infinity, forever. Jesus tells us we should always be forgiving, and he always forgives us. He even forgave those who hung him on the cross as he lay there in pain, dying, saying, Father, forgive them. Jesus is also radical and revolutionary, and that's part of what got him to that cross. Sometimes, to get people to change, you need to use drastic measures. So if anyone ever asks you, what would Jesus do? Remind them that flipping over tables and chasing people with a whip is within the realm of possibilities. It's not always the part of Jesus that we think about. Jesus had to be pretty pointed sometimes and had to say some pretty radical and revolutionary things to help people see God's way in the world. Jesus is too big to fit in our boxes. He couldn't be contained by the tomb, and he can't be boxed into any one category either that we try to put him in. Jesus is bigger than all of us and all of our thoughts about him. After he was resurrected, he appeared to his disciples, and he said these words to them, I am with you always. Jesus is constant in our lives. Even after his physical body left this world, he still gave us that reminder that he is always with us. And then one of the most popular and one of my favorites about God and Jesus is that God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. Love is a big clue to us about who God is. And love isn't just touchy-feely, mushy stuff. Love is also action. It's that feeling deep inside that causes us to do crazy things that we otherwise wouldn't do. That is how God feels about us. And when we love, we know God. And just in conclusion, God is greater than any of these things. God is greater than any way we can think about him, which is why he is God. And isn't that awesome? That God is so much bigger than any one of us. We're so limited, and God is limitless. Take a moment now to thank God for being all these things to us in prayer. Amen.